Wake up call!
This is Wake Up Call.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On the Sports Map Radio Network.
All right, let's do this.
Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Well, we've been pointing out all morning there's always an angle to a weekend like we just had in the NFL. Do you focus on the teams that won, that accomplished what they were supposed to accomplish, or do you focus on the teams that lost and what they gave up and why their season came to an end? And in a couple of situations, it was just being outplayed. The New York Giants went to Philadelphia, didn't have anything for the Eagles. And a fantastic season for Brian Daboll in his first year just comes to an end. I think if you're a Giants fan, feel good about your team. Feel good that they made a run like that. They beat Minnesota on the road. They just went up against the number one seed in the NFC. It happens. If you're the Jacksonville Jaguars, there was an opportunity to win that game. And I do agree that certain Jacksonville fans feel like, wait, that was winnable. We're playing against, again, a 40-year-old backup quarterback at one moment, then a guy with a high ankle sprain comes in on one. And even though he's Patrick Mahomes, if we can't find a way to win that game, we'll never beat that team. And I agree with that. I think that this was a winnable game for Jacksonville. They didn't have the opportunities to prevail, and in the end. But again, you're talking about a team that had Urban Meyer as their head coach last year. Urban Meyer that was so disastrous, it set Trevor Lawrence backwards. And he had gotten them into the playoffs and got them to the divisional round. But the two yesterday are the big ones. The Buffalo Bills lose at home in the snow, a game they were never in. And the Dallas Cowboys have so many questions because Jerry Jones has got to find the right formula. We talk about Jerry Jones in a way that I hate discussing it because it talks about mortality and whatnot. It seems a little disrespectful. But it is worthy of bringing it up because Jerry Jones is a man that is he's on the other side of the bridge, if you will, right, in terms of his age. And there's a mortality question. When you're the owner of the Dallas Cowboys and you can't take it with you, you want to get it before you go. And you know that there's a little bit of an urgency that he wants to see this team win. You don't know, I don't know how many years he's got left on this earth. But he is also a guy that has known that 30 years or 25 years, 27 years, it's an awful long time to not put this global brand on the upper spotlight. He's got a coaching question that he's got to answer. Does he stay loyal to Mike McCarthy? Does he make a run at Sean Payton when it looks like Sean Payton is going to be the head coach of the Denver Broncos? That's the appearance. He's had his going to have his second interview with the Broncos. Interviewed in Los Angeles last week. They flew him in Denver to talk. The Broncos will have ability to sort of send some, you know, they sent a lot to Seattle to get Russell Wilson, but they're willing to send some compensation to New Orleans for Sean Payton. Maybe not. Maybe they'll wait. D'Amico Ryan's getting a lot of love as a potential head coach. Maybe they'll wait and see. Who knows? But for the Dallas Cowboys, there's going to be a lot of questions. I think Dak Prescott is a guy you're going to have to live with. I don't think there's any reason to think you're going to start now and sort of changing to find that quarterback. Yeah, I don't know where you're going to get your Joe Burrow or your Josh Allen. You may not, but you're committed to Dak. You stick with that. You just put up. You hopefully come up with a team that can overcome some of the mistakes you just know he's going to make. He does. He turns over the ball more than any other quarterback, but he also wins you enough games. Yeah, Cooper Rush won a bunch of games too, but Dak Prescott is your starting quarterback. It's the head coach. Life after Ezekiel Elliott, all of those things. How do the Dallas Cowboys build a team that is going to be competitive in a conference that is up and down? What's hot today may not be hot tomorrow. What you feel like is going to be a consistent run may disappear. This conference had two quarterbacks in Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers that are sort of looking at a part of their future now that is just a few years, a couple of years, maybe with different teams in the latter part of the twilight of their career. But the Rams had Matt Stafford last year get hurt. Cooper Kupp got hurt. The Rams disappeared. Maybe the Rams come back. Maybe there is something brewing with Geno Smith in Seattle. Maybe Kirk Cousins will be around and be in the playoffs next year. Maybe the Eagles are for real and they begin a dynastic run in the NFC. The NFC is wide open. If you're Dallas, you want to be in that picture. But if you're the Buffalo Bills, and I've been saying it all morning, you've got to be careful. The AFC is not coming back to you. Now, the Bills, again, with Josh Allen and Sean McDermott and even Ken Dorsey, who had to take over for Brian Daboll, and Dorsey did a good job. This still was a very good offense. And I like the way they hired Dorsey. They didn't bring him in from some other team. They let him grow in that organization and promoted him when Daboll had left. But Cincinnati dismantled them. And Kansas City is still a beast in this conference, obviously. And Trevor Lawrence and Justin Herbert are on the rise. And Miami could be right nipping at your heels in the division. It would be a real shame to have a quarterback like Josh Allen and a wide receiver talent like Stephon Diggs and a defense that was ranked in the top three in defensive categories all season, and a fantastic coach in Sean McDermott, and a fan base that will support you through thick and thin, for this group to not make a Super Bowl appearance. A Super Bowl appearance is, again, we talk about it all the time, these championships are not guaranteed to anybody, and they're hard to come by. If you can get a couple in your lifetime, great. But they keep coming short at the wrong time. Right? They keep coming short where you feel like they're right there on the doorstep and something occurs. I think that first game against Canada, that playoff championship game against the Chiefs, that first year they were in the AFC title game, I could see that maybe the moment was just a little big. But they were really building something really great there. To only watch as they blew a lead with 13 seconds remaining and then losing it overtime. So much so that the NFL reached and said, hey, everybody, aren't you feeling sad for Buffalo? Let's change the overtime rule, shall we? So we never see this again.
And I felt that was going to be enough motivation for them to go scorched earth.
Right, right.
You know, never get into that position again or be ready in that position. And I mean, that's what I think, you know, the game on Sunday was surprising.
Not to sound like a broken record, I keep saying this over and over again, but these elite teams, they want to get where they were, you know, just left off.
Right.
So they go through the offseason and they go through the regular season. But when you get to that moment that you just left off, you better be ready. And let's be honest, the Bills weren't ready for the Dolphins last week, and they absolutely weren't ready for the Bengals this week. You can point and say, well, the Bengals are really talented. The Bills are really talented, too.
Yeah.
Let's not pretend that this was a predictable outcome. As we were saying in hour or two, a Bills domination from start to finish is the last choice I would have made at the beginning of this game.
You mean Bengals?
Bengals. A Bengals domination is the last choice, a last prediction I would have made.
No.
I would have gone through every other prediction before I got to Burrow and the Bengals dominate from start to finish, and the Bills are never in this thing. At home in the snow? Are you kidding me? I mean, it snows in Cincinnati, but I'll be honest with you, it snows in Buffalo. Like that's what they want.
That's what they practice in. That's what they've been doing for the last
snow.
And I'm wondering. I mean, I you might be right. You said this in hour one. We'll reiterate it here too. Is that there was a lot of emotions that happened with this team, and you know, DeMar Hamlin, I think, just really set them over the edge. But let's not forget, they had a game that had to be moved as well.
That's right. They had a wild season.
They had a wild towards the end.
Yep, towards the end, they had a
towards the end, team. It was just, you know, can you play here? No, we can't. All right, we'll move you someplace else.
So those are the two things I want to focus on in terms of the losers. Just now, it opens up a question. If you're the Bills, what changes do you need to make? And if you're the Cowboys, there's a lot of questions about some changes you probably should make. The winners that are setting this up, what I love about the Bengals story is this. The Bengals went from a team last year when they entered the playoffs. Great little story. Joe Burrow's second year. The Bengals. When was the last time they hosted a playoff game? The last time they won a home playoff game before they beat the Raiders last year, Sam Weish was the coach. Boomer Esiason was the quarterback. And O.J. Simpson was the sideline reporter.
Woo!
That's how long ago it was before they beat the Raiders last year. How long ago it was since they won a home playoff game. And now they're rolling. They are clicking. Burrow has this team just playing on an elite level. They turned a super unexpected Super Bowl appearance and one-upped it with that performance against Buffalo. They one-upped it. And I will tell you, when they came back in that game, when their defense tightened up, Lou Amarillo had a, changed up the defense to kind of contain Patrick Mahomes last year in that second half comeback. That was extremely impressive. But I was more impressed with what they did in this game against Buffalo because they didn't come back from anything. They scored on their first possession, went right down the field. They scored in the first, they scored the another touchdown in the first quarter. The Bills were never in it. Burrow was incredible. Efficient, precise. The atmosphere didn't plague them. The weather didn't plague them. And you're right, man. I know Joe Cool is different. I hope he comes up. He's becoming the dominating force in the postseason is how well he plays. And you know what's funny? In this game, I looked at the Bills and I said, you know, this is a 2-3 matchup and the Bills are at home. I could see this game going either way. I was really, really blown away how out of the gate the Bills just looked. They weren't, all right, fine. You know what? You get a touchdown, we are going to match you. They couldn't do that. And then towards the end, they were making penalties. They were extending drives. They looked out of sorts. And that was, it was really too bad because, again, the window is going to be open as long as Josh Allen is there, but you got to make sure you surround him with talent that's not going to disappear in free agency. His declining skills are not going to force the team to make decisions about their status and having to bring in other players. Josh Allen will be the reason the Buffalo Bills continue to make the playoffs and continue to make runs in the postseason, but this AFC is too good to not mess with it. All right, Tony D, Ron Culver, as we continue talking NFL on Twitter at Tony D Radio, at Ron Culver. That's Ron with two N's, his wake-up call.
You're listening to Wake Up Call on the Sports Map Radio Network. Alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, as we continue, thanks for joining us. Rolling along after a busy weekend in the NFL. I didn't even know what else was going on in sports. I was so focused. Did you know there's three Americans in the quarterfinals at the Australian Open or semifinals of the Australian Open? I guess we'll know who won six days from now.
Or 4 days ago.
4 days ago?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not
I didn't
sure.
even know. I didn't
Not sure
know.
How the calendar works.
I did know that Shannon Sharp got in an argument at the Lakers.
Yeah, game. I was going to bring that up, but I was like, eh.
He gave a really good apology, apparently. Obviously, we didn't see it because we're on at the time his show is on, but he gave a really good apology.
He?
I guess people are praising it. I didn't hear it, so I can't make my own judgment.
I just know that, you know, that T. Morant, which is
John Morant's dad.
Yeah,
right?
T. Morant did not want the smoke.
Yeah, I saw that, and I – that, like – you ever watch something where you're embarrassed for the people involved?
Yeah.
Like, I was embarrassed for Shannon Sharp. Like,
I was too.
I was like, dude, this is a terrible look. No matter what you think, no matter how justified you feel, this looks terrible. And this quote about him not wanting the smoke, that's a terrible look. This is embarrassing. I'm embarrassed for you. Like, this is terrible.
Yeah.
This looks so dumb and cheap and attention grabbing and
listen, I mean,
whatnot.
You know what? If you want to rib the other team, rib the other team. If the other team's going to talk back, let the other team talk back. That's part of, you know, why you're sitting right there.
Right. Exactly.
You know, you think Jack Nicholson keeps his mouth quiet during every Laker game? He might now, but back in the day, no.
What remember that fan that was a Washington Wizards fan, Robin something, and he used to NBA players like got so used to him, he kind of became like their friends. Like,
yeah.
Like Charles Barkley would go up to him afterwards and yell at him, but it was all in good fun. He's like I remember some like players said, "Hey, keep it up, keep going. You got your stuff for me tonight?" And he'd be like, "Yeah, I got some stuff for you." It just became like a running gag after a while. Like that's just kind of the way it is, you know. You just after a while you sort of respect the hecklers. Because it kind of makes it fun. You know, you see what happens.
Yeah, they become like, you know, the sixth guy on the court.
He was taking offense, and it was all personal. And I was like, oh, my God.
I mean, I'll put it this way, too, for T. Morant, too. You don't need to do that.
You don't need to do that either.
You don't need to step up. And,
you don't need to do
say,
that
say, I will defend my son's honor.
No, let him do that. Let him do it himself. That. He's got security people. Look, Shannon Sharp is – they were – what was surprising was that he was allowed to stay. Like, he's such a high celebrity that they just went, no, go back to your seat.
I know. Like, that happened in New York.
I would have gotten kicked out. Yeah.
Well, that's probably because he didn't play basketball. Man, you know, if that was Charles Oakley in New York, he would have gotten thrown out.
Charles Oakley or Michael Rapaport
or
anybody else, they would have gotten kicked out without question. But, yeah, it was kind of a
probably because people sat
scene.
Back and went, yeah, there's no true Laker fan. So.
Right, yeah. It was really kind of wild. But Dylan Brooks, he goes, I don't know, a blogger or whatever. He's a Hall of Fame tight end. I'm sorry you don't know that. Right? Yeah, he's on a show. He's on a talking head show that gives his opinions. But
he's like Skip Bayless, right?
He's a three-time Super Bowl champion.
They just write things for clicks. That's what Skip Bayless or Shannon Sharpe does. He just talks for, do you think that was a dig?
I think that was
like
a dig.
He has to know.
Oh, I think he absolutely knew. I think he just went, some blogger. He knows what he is.
Yeah,
he
may not know, Hall of Famer, three-time Super Bowl champion, but you know, it's like, yeah, that guy played football.
Right, yeah.
I don't know, how do you not know he's not
how
a Hall of Famer?
How do you not know he's always
I forget the three Super Bowl wins, though.
Yeah.
No, I only remember, I always think of the two.
Two with the Broncos and one with the Ravens.
Yeah, I always forget that Ravens one.
Exactly. So that's the other thing that went on this weekend. Other than that, I can't tell you anything else. I was so focused on these NFL games. It was crazy.
Some good soccer games?
Was there good soccer games?
Well, all right. I'm going to give me 2 good minutes of soccer here, right? There is a player. His name's Eden Haaland. Right? And he's Norwegian, but he plays for Manchester City. He is lighting the English Premier League on fire. He has made it his you-know-what.
Right.
It's absolutely ridiculous. He's played in 19 games. I don't even think that many.
You're saying that to me, and as if I will go, yeah, 19 games. I have no idea who you're talking about, but I'm following along because this sounds fascinating.
They play 38 games in a 38-game season, right? So we're only halfway through the season. He already has more hat tricks in the first half of the season than some of the greatest players who have ever played in their career.
Wow. All right.
So in I think in 19 games, he has 4 hat tricks.
So that's already. What else is going on in
That was the other big thing.
I also know Houston got beat by Temple yesterday in college basketball. That was the other thing that happened.
But that's college basketball.
Right. But no, you just mentioned Premier League soccer, and I can't say the number one team in college. We were talking about other things that happened this weekend, and I can't talk about the number one team
That's because I'm talking about
Temple
sport.
Was
the
11
season's
and
already
9.
Begun. College basketball season hasn't started yet, so who cares if
Temple was 11-9 going into that game against, and it was at Houston. And the Cougars lost. by the way, if you're a Cougars fan, you don't even have to stress. It's not even a big deal.
No stress.
You might lose the number one ranking to, I don't know, Purdue. But
I think
Kansas. Kansas lost.
I mean, out of four teams, I think they still get a number one. They may not be number one in their region.
Yeah,
they may be like the number one.
No, I'm
in
talking
the
about
West.
Number one later today.
Oh yeah, they're not going to be number one today.
Yeah, I mean, it's
I'm
probably
talking about
be,
when the season actually starts and
it's
you know selection
go back
Sunday.
To yeah. Oh yeah, they'll be a number one seed. They keep this up, they'll be.
But
number
they
one seed.
But they may not. They'll be like one in the East or something like that, where it's like, oh, you guys got to play way over here now. You guys
you
don't
know
get
who
to
might
play
be the number
in
one
your area.
I'm trying to think of who might be the number one team today. The number one team today might be Alabama.
They're
really? Fourth. Yeah, they're rolling. I mean, they All are right. killing everybody. They got a kid named Brandon Miller, freshman, really fantastic ball player. But, it could be Purdue, because Kansas lost last week to Kansas State, so they're not going to be number one. So probably could be Purdue or Alabama. UCLA lost over the weekend to Arizona. These are just things we had other than NFL football.
I'll never understand rankings, college basketball rankings, because, football, it all makes sense, right? You lose,
there's a lot
you're going to
drop
down.
There's a lot of analytics involved. There's KenPom. There's the RPI. There's all these other things that you got
to. That must be a headache to try to figure out.
Headache.
And there's 500 teams?
Look at our friend Shelby Mast. Look at he has got a crunch on a daily basis. Look at Joe Lenardi and those guys that do the brackets.
Yep.
Those early, way too early brackets. It's
Jerry
crazy.
Palm. Jerry Bracketologist. Palm.
Crazy, crazy stuff that goes on in that sport. But. Man, it's just this is the king. This is we got 4 games this weekend. Saturday night, Sunday night.
We got 2 games this Sunday.
I got to give the NFL credit. I liked the little bit of the late start. I know they've done this for a couple of years.
I do too.
Now. I liked the late start. We went to church on Sunday. We got a little lunch, hung out, then the game started.
But wasn't it weird on Sunday? Didn't you feel like you were missing something?
Yeah, I
that,
did.
That was the only thing. I mean, I'm not conditioned. My brain isn't conditioned for it because I did feel like I was, you know, I was late to something. I was missing something. It's like something should be going on right now, but
it's
not.
I was ready to check my phone to see what the scores were, and I was like, wait, hold on. No, it's
2 o'clock
later. Yep, 2
or
o'clock.
3 Eastern.
Yep, so, and, you know, like, well, so what, like, the grade of the games this weekend, like, what would you give them? You were asking me earlier before the show, like, do we feel a little cheated? I said I didn't personally feel cheated because I think there's a storyline to every game that's fascinating, and I don't need games to go to the wire. But I do, you know, there were two games that were just not even competitive.
Right. Sunday's games I liked. You know, Sunday's games I liked. I mean, I liked watching Bengals win in the snow. You know, just anytime you watch a snow game, they kind of tease you when it's like, oh, it's snowing in Kansas City. And then the game starts. It's like, where is it?
Well, let me ask you a question about the snow game, because this is really important. I watched the snow game. I didn't see the snow as a factor.
No, I didn't either.
And that's always an issue with me. It's like quarterbacks don't mind throwing in the snow. Players don't mind playing in the snow. It's not wet. It's not like rain.
Yeah, but here's the thing, though, right? I mean,
I wanted to accumulate and be a, like, where they're shoveling it.
We didn't really see it be a factor, but was it a factor for the Bills? I mean, Joe Burrow had no problems. I mean, I almost feel like it could have just been a mudslide coming raining down into Orchard Park, and he still would have been able to throw dimes.
Right.
It was I mean, that part was ridiculous.
I don't think Allen had problems with the weather. I think Allen had problems with the Bengals.
Yeah, that was. But I mean, Sunday's games were good. Saturday's games were kind of like.
That Giants-Eagles game, that was over quick. It was 28-0 at halftime.
I think that's where the sour taste is, because I thought that was going to be a really competitive game.
Well, there was two things yesterday, on Saturday. When Mahomes went out, I thought playoff-changing moment here.
Yeah.
Right? Because I didn't know what he was going out. I didn't know if he was coming back. But I'm like, okay, this changes a lot of things.
So you just opened
here.
The door. It was cracked a little bit.
You just opened the door. And listen, all the I loved at the end of that game, Travis Kelce and Patrick Mahomes had nothing but love for Chad Henne, man. They were like, in fact, was it Travis Kelce said to Melissa Stark at the end of the game, thanks for the game ball, this is going to Chad Henne. And Melissa Stark said, you don't have to, you can keep yours. He's already getting one too. For that night. 40-year-old backup quarterback. And Mahomes says, this guy makes me better every day. His wisdom, his experience, the fact that he knows he's always ready to go at a moment's notice. 98-yard drive. It kept us in this game. They all gave love to Chad Henne. But I thought, if Mahomes doesn't come back out, we are really looking at a Jacksonville AFC championship appearance. But it didn't happen.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the SportsMap Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
All right, thanks for joining us as we continue to look the winners and losers from this weekend in the NFL. But one other NFL note, Sean Payton is having his second interview with the Denver Broncos. The Broncos are going to be really careful here. Jeff Legwold, who covers the Broncos out in Denver, pointed out on Twitter that the Broncos had Nathaniel Hackett. They liked Nathaniel Hackett. But what happened was, because Jacksonville was interviewing and liked Nathaniel Hackett too, they canceled a lot of second interviews that they wanted to have with certain candidates and then just made the hire. Well, this is a new ownership group, and they walked into this team that already had Hackett as the head coach, so they're not going to make that mistake. They're going to be really careful. Sean Payton is a guy that you would have to talk about his commitment. You'd have to ask him flat out. So why did you leave New Orleans? Why are you coming back now? I think it's a legitimate question to ask, right? Do you really like living in Los Angeles, playing golf, doing TV work? Do you really want to do this again? Because we're about ready to make a deal. Not only are we going to make a deal, but we're going to give up something here. We have to give up something. This is not going to be promoting a young offensive coordinator or giving somebody their first shot or taking a guy that has been out of the game or whatever. We're going to have to pay for you. Not pay you, pay for you. We have to give the Saints compensation. So we don't want, when the going gets tough, you think about your golf/TV life in Los Angeles and decide that was a better deal. We need somebody that can take this team from point A to point W. Right? I mean, we've got a long way to go. to be on the level where we're competing with the teams that we're seeing competing on Saturday and Sunday. And we got a tough division. We've got this quarterback that may or not be a good investment. And we need you to turn something with him. So the Broncos are going to have second interviews. I think if you're a Bronco fan, don't get too excited about a second interview with Sean Payton, right? Dan Quinn is going to be looked at. DeMeco Ryans is going to get looked at. There's going to be a number of other people that the Broncos are going to be looking at in terms of their interviews. And is Sean Payton, I mean, if you're a Broncos fan, are you getting excited about Sean Payton because he's a good coach? Yeah, he's a good coach. But remember, he had Drew Brees for all of those years in New Orleans. Right? I mean, there's no guarantee that he's going to come to Denver and be Joe Gibbs. Right? Joe Gibbs won three Super Bowls with three different quarterbacks. It's, you don't know. And you have to figure out, do you want to give up something for him when there is a lot more buzz about a lot of other candidates? Sean Payton is just the sexy name because, again, he had a lot of success in New Orleans. They were always in the playoffs. They won a Super Bowl. Right? There's just the resume speaks for itself. All those years there, I think at one point he was the longest coach that was employed. And if you're Dallas, the same kind of situation. I mean, do you want Sean Payton? You're going to have to get rid of Mike McCarthy. Are you sure that's going to be the right thing to do? Are you sure you don't want to promote Dan Quinn? If you're going to fire Mike McCarthy, what would your next step be if you're Jerry Jones? Would you give up compensation for Sean Payton? Listen, if you're Dallas, you need all the tools that you have in terms of compensation. You're going to need. Do you want to sacrifice any of that for Sean Payton to be the head coach of your football team? Maybe. And if you're Sean Payton, what's the best landing spot if indeed you want to do this? But I think it's a legitimate question to ask him, why did you do it in the first place? And be honest, if you didn't like where the team was going, if you didn't like the way that, you know, hey, look, I didn't have Drew Brees, I didn't want to rebuild. That's fine. It's your life. No one's forcing you to live it. You want to retire? And be stuck in this limbo of if you want to get back, the other team has to pay for you, whereas other candidates don't have compensation attached to it. That's fine. Your resume is going to outshine a lot of candidates. You're going to get an offer. Some team is going to be willing to say, sure, why not, whatever it is. And by the way, for Sean Payton, they're not asking for two first-round picks. They're not asking for something that steep. But it's going to be – it's not a seventh-round pick either. So you have to ask him, why did you retire in the first place? And what happens if you get the itch to return to the life you're actually liking? What happens in week 8 when you're 2-7 or 2-5 and you're preparing for another team and you're going through the motions and your injury list is filling up and your quarterback isn't playing well and you've got some problems with some coordinator you hired and you think you need to let him go? Does golfing in Los Angeles and being on TV sound like a better deal? And will you run to that rather than sticking through for years and years trying to build something here in Denver or Houston or Carolina or Arizona or wherever he may end up? That's the question. And I think it's legit. If you hired DeMeco Ryans, you don't have to ask him that question, right? If you hire anybody, you don't have to answer that question. But you have to ask that of Sean Payton, and that's an appropriate question to ask him. And if you're the Broncos, just be careful. If you're in the Broncos ownership and you saw what they did last year, the last couple of years, think about since Gary Kubiak stepped down. It has been Vance Joseph, it has been Vic Fangio, and now it is Nathaniel Hackett. All right, three guys, first-year head coaches, first out-of-the-gate job in terms of that position, successful coordinators, in Fangio's case, for a really long time. Sean Payton comes in, immediately knows how to do this, immediately knows how to put a staff together, immediately knows how to run a meeting, immediately knows how to organize his week, camp, evaluations, all of that. You don't have to worry about a guy learning. And if you're an owner and you, if you're one of the owners of the Broncos, well, the chief owner is, you know, the Walmart guy, but there are other owners. You have to say, I walked into a bad situation.
Are you almost afraid?
I walked into somebody's mistake.
Are you almost afraid of that?
Of you, like, making a mistake?
No, Sean Payton, like you just said, Sean Payton knows how to put a team together, knows how to put a staff together, knows how to put a winning organization together. If Sean Payton walks in there and goes, guys, Russell Wilson doesn't have it.
Right. Yeah, good point. Good point.
Because that very well could happen. I mean, I know we want to put everything on, why am I forgetting his name? the coach.
No, Nathaniel Hackett.
Nathaniel Hackett, thank you. I wanted to say Haskins. I knew that wasn't right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know we want to put all the blame on him, you know, and rightfully so. I mean, he was terrible. But, you know, at what point are we going to start, like, looking at Russell going, you know, you aren't worth what they gave you.
Right.
And the club is kind of tied now. And that's why I'm fearful for the Broncos is, like, how much collateral do they have to give up in order to secure Sean Payton?
So, you're right. If you're Sean Payton, you have to – look, Russell Wilson's not going anywhere for at least 3 years.
Right.
Right? After the third year, I think the rate of where you can release him is not as damaging. It's very damaging this year, next year. But I think I heard Legwall tweet out that after the third year, you're looking at a very manageable, it's all right, we can get out of this deal and it's okay. It's not gonna kill us. But right now it would kill you. So you have to believe this is your quarterback. You have to believe that Nathaniel Hackett hurt Russell Wilson and not Russell Wilson hurt Russell Wilson. Now if you're Peyton, and you honestly, again, this would be between you and, like, your wife. I mean, that's it. If you are saying to her in the middle of the night, Russell Wilson can't play in this league anymore, you can't take the Broncos job. You're better off working in a rebuilding situation in Houston than you are saddled with a quarterback you don't believe in for 3 years. You can't touch it.
Or holding out another year, right?
Right, yeah.
I mean, wait around one more season.
You're better off maybe chilling out in L.A. again. Do some more TV work. Hang out with your buddies on TV and play some golf and enjoy the money that you've made in coaching life. But if you are telling your closest confidants, your agent, your wife, very, very few people, so it doesn't get out, and you trust, and you say, guys, I honestly have looked at the tape. They've gave me, you know, I've been watching this guy. He is going to be a mess for the next couple of years. He doesn't have it anymore. Can't take the job. But, like you said, if you feel like, wait, hold on. I saw some good things in the last 2 weeks of the season.
Yeah.
I there are things that I like. I think that he was hamstrung with this and that, and I can fix this or that, and I think he needs a this and he needs a that, and I think we can do a good job of getting those for him. And then it becomes attractive. Then it becomes an attractive job. It's a good fan
base. And you read into all the other scenarios, you know, that Russell Wilson's lost half the locker room with his antics. And
yeah, you got to get to the nitty-gritty details on that, right? Yeah, you got to find out. Yeah, I mean, they all came out and supported him on Twitter. Find out if that's true or if that's just sort of something that they kind of put out there to deflect.
Or was it just to get you to come?
You also got to exactly. You
let's
also
say all
talk,
the nice things.
Get you also got to talk about talk to the CEO, Greg Penner. You guys see, like, how much do I have an influence in this? Do I get to buy the groceries and cook the meal? Or do you buy the groceries and I cook the meal? What is it? A lot of questions on tap. All right, we'll come back. More thoughts on the NFL playoff weekend. Looking into the AFC and NFC championship games as we continue. It's Wake Up Call on Sports Map Radio.
Wake Up Call with Tony D and Ron Culver continues now on the Sports Map Radio Network. Here's Tony D and Ron Culver.
By the way, I did look it up, Ron, and Ted Karras is his great uncle is Alex Karras.
Nice, there it is.
So his grandfather Ted Karras and Lou Karras and Alex Karras all played in the 50s and 60s. So that's his great uncle.
I like it.
So there you go. There you go. Ted Karras, who was Cincinnati Bengals lineman. So, but by the way, the Cincinnati Bengals, who had to kind of patchwork offensive line, was magnificent Sunday. opening up polls for Joe Burrow. So, Kansas City, this is going to be a great week, isn't it? All eyes on Patrick Mahomes. High ankle sprain is going to be the thing we kind of research on what severity of it, what you can do, what you can't do, how much damage is on it. It's going to be like, well, what percentage of him is going to be out there, right? If you're Kansas City, this is it, right? You got to go out there. If you're 60%, you're 60%. But how much does he hurt you? How much does he hurt you when he doesn't have the mobility and he can't plant particularly well? How do you create the offense around that? And if you are just minimizing his effectiveness in the offense, is Chad Henne a better option, a more healthy 40-year-old backup, a better option? We'll wait and see. I think if you're, you know, Kansas City, Mahomes playing, no matter what the conditions are, you just got to work around it. But they're playing up against the Cincinnati team, like we said. They do not seem to care where they go and who they play and what Vegas thinks of them and what their line is and how much of an underdog they are. And they've been to the Super Bowl before. They know what it, you know, they know how to win at Arrowhead. And then you've got this Eagles team that I like the way Josh Alper put it in hour one. Like, they needed a win like that. They had been a rough couple of weeks, right? They had Jalen Hurts injured with a shoulder. Gardner Minshew came in. He lost two games. They had this Week 18 matchup against the Giants that could determine the number one seed for them. And the Giants didn't start anybody because they didn't have to move up or down in the playoff seeding. And the Eagles won that game. But then they had the week off, and everybody was wondering about the severity of the injury. And then they go, well, here's the Giants, and they're kind of red hot right now, and you don't want a piece of the Giants. Well, they got a piece of the Giants, and it was a very small sliver, not even enough to satisfy. 38-7 was the win, and Jalen Hurts was great. Two touchdowns. He ran for another. He didn't have to throw it all over the place. You know, they ran the ball fantastic. And they cruised to a win. No problems. Easy peasy. Wrap this up at halftime. We're up 28-0. Giants don't seem to want to be here. By the way, Brian Daboll punted in that fourth quarter. Man, was that a dummy thing to do. Like, it's like, did you, coaches, we always say this. They don't like getting blown out. They want to avoid shutouts. That's why they go for field goals when they're down 28-0 or 31-0. And they have the ball. They go, well, we got to get something on the board. We don't want to be shut out. But down a couple of scores, I think at the time that they had the ball, they were down by three scores. And they punted with a lot of time in the fourth quarter left, but you still have to be aggressive. And Daboll got barbecued for that decision. But a lot of it is because you don't want to get blown out. You don't want it to be 49-7. So you have to be really extra careful. Now you got this Eagles team that's playing San Francisco, and their story continues to just blossom. Their defense was good. Their quarterback didn't need to be great. The quarterback, Brock Purdy, led them on some drives that ended up in field goals, trying to get to that Dallas defense. It was just as tough. It was a defensive battle. He could not afford any turnovers, and he did not turn the ball over. And so now you've got an NFC game between the top two seeds in the NFC, and you've got another one where it is one versus three.
That's how it should be.
That's the way it should be. Yeah, well, I don't necessarily need a...
I find it amazing, two things. One, that Patrick Mahomes is 5-0 in divisional round games.
Yeah.
For his career. And, I mean, and this sets up the fifth straight AFC championship game for him.
It is remarkable, and it's at home.
Blowing my mind, yeah.
Yeah, it's at home, too. That's the crazy part. That's the crazy part, is that without Tyreek Hill, we talked to Alex Gold about this last week, without Tyreek Hill, that was the big question this offseason. Yeah, they're going to be good, but can they be top team good, right? And they were. Yeah, they needed the cancellation on Monday night. Bills would have won that game. They would have, you know, they would have been the number one seed, and the Chiefs would have been a two seed. But they would still be hosting this game even if that had happened, right?
Yeah.
And again, to face a Bengals team, there's two things about this game I think people are going to start focusing on. There's going to be two things about this game. One, there is not going to be the fear factor attached to going to Arrowhead and playing the Kansas City Chiefs. The Bengals are going to a place where they've won before, they win on the road, and they are playing a Patrick Mahomes that is going to be less than any Patrick Mahomes they've ever seen. So the fear factor is not going to be...
Bet you wish they had that extra week now, don't they?
Right, exactly. But the second part about it is going to be Kansas City. They are not going to be a team that is going to look at Cincinnati the way they saw them going into the second half last year.
Yeah.
And I think that's the other thing, is that Kansas City is now looking at that Bengals team a lot differently.
Real quick.
A team that can beat us. That's a team that can dominate us, and we better be careful.
Here's a look back at your NFL predictions.
Yes.
Remember?
Yeah.
Do you remember who you had in the AFC conference game?
I don't. But let me see if I can call it up for my drawer.
No, I have it written here for you.
Go ahead. Okay.
I mean, you at least got one half right.
Okay.
You had the Bills over the Bengals.
Oh, okay. So I had Cincinnati there. That's cool.
Yeah. So at least Cincinnati made it today. I mean, but you know, look at the divisional round. That's far from the truth. I mean, I'm out. I had Bills over Chargers. And neither one of us got the NFC conference. Neither one of us got the Super Bowl right.
All right. Okay.
So we both had the Bills winning it all.
Ugh,
but you had them.
So sucked into that Buffalo narrative.
You had them beating the Buccaneers, and I had them beating the Packers. Look, we went for the old men, and what's ruling right now?
Yeah, I know.
I think the old man quarterback is out the window.
I think
this young generation is here to stay.
I'm telling you, look, if someone's gonna pay you to play quarterback, but like I think if you're a guy that is saying, look, if you're somebody that says, you know what, I used to say all the time, yeah, but Tom Brady, yeah, but I'm not gonna say that anymore. I think you're legit. I think it's legit to say. I think those days are done. I think it is okay to say, you know what? I'm not gonna believe that a 46-year-old Tom Brady can do the things that a 32-year-old, 35-year-old, 27-year-old, whatever Tom Brady. I think I have to. And the same with Aaron Rodgers. In a way, if Aaron Rodgers goes to someone else, good luck. If Aaron Rodgers lands in wherever, good luck. Tom Brady goes to the Raiders, good luck. I'm not gonna believe that you can go to Arrowhead and beat Patrick Mahomes just because. I'm not going to believe that you can go to Cincinnati and beat Joe Burrow just because. I may say it's a good matchup. I may say I'm looking forward to it. I may say that, you know, hey, Brady's having a pretty good year and he's on a better team. Okay. But these kids, these young guys are so good and so talented and so smart with the way they play this position that it's not just, and the old man is just going to win. No, those days are over. This is too good. I was telling you, Joe Burrow, the way he played against Buffalo was as smart of a quarterbacking I've seen in a long time. He is such a machine, knowing where and when his receivers are going to make that right turn. That turn. That's what you do. I know it's. We all know this, right? We all know it's not backyard football. It's like just get open, right? We know that. We know there's plays and everybody runs routes, but Burrow's decision making, his split second decision making on what he analyzes on coverage of his guys. And he's got three main weapons. And you want to throw in Hurst, that's four main weapons that he's reading. And in the split second, he can look at Jamar Chase and go, nope. Split second, he can look at T. Higgins and go, nope. And then he can find Hurst and go, yep, he's got that one step there. Now, you may think quarterbacks do this, but not all of them do it well. And Dak Prescott, for example, makes mistakes because he doesn't particularly do it well a lot, right? But Joe Burrow does it. He's outstanding at it.
And I think that's what was most impressive, because he did that with snow falling.
That's right. That's right.
You know,
and that's
know
your
there,
job.
And there was a joke about, you know, the Bills having trouble tackling because, you know, the Bengals uniforms blended in with the snow. But you can flip it around and, you know, make the joke of, like, how did Burrow even find his teammates?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
They're all wearing white.
It's remarkable. It's to me, that was so impressive to take the most, what I thought was the most competitive game this weekend, the most anticipated game for me was this matchup.
Yeah.
And to turn it into that kind of performance and that kind of statement. The Bengals took a Super Bowl run last year and turned it into something even better right now. Not really even better, because the Super Bowl run's a Super Bowl run. But they turned it into a team that now we can really respect the process. I said it last year. I'm not afraid to admit it. I thought they would lose to Tennessee. I thought they would lose to the Titans in Nashville. I wasn't all in. I thought it was a cool story. Beat the Raiders. Close game. 1-7. Yay. Good luck. Have fun. They were going to go play Derrick Henry and the Titans. And even after that game, I said, well, the Titans don't turn the ball over three times. They probably win this one because the Bengals won it on a field goal. But when they did it, when they went to Kansas City, I was like, okay, now we're talking. And when they almost won the Super Bowl, I'm like, now we're talking. And now that they put this kind of domination performance on Buffalo, I'm like, oh boy, it's just another one of the top dogs now in the AFC.